There's a very lovely story found in the book of Chronicles that was read out to us. Quite often, some of these interesting story is embedded into the Old Testament that we may or may not often read them. Today, I want to focus on Jehoshaphat's prayer and the whole situation around surrounding that incident and his prayer. There was a Chinese military general, a strategist, a philosopher by the name of Sun Tzu, who lived during the period of 771 to 256 BCE. He said in his book, The Art of War, and he says, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Maybe he read the story about Jehoshaphat in the book of Chronicles. Today, you and I may not be at war with human enemies' forces, but often we may find ourselves at war with enemies such as ill health, fear, grief, poor finances maybe, and at one level, the physical side of things, but at the other level, there may be temptations and the dark spiritual forces. Well, we have good news. Just we started with the service this morning. We have good news because we got a book on the art of war in which God has given us the supreme art of subduing the enemies in life, sometimes even without raising a finger. The three passages we have heard today, one particular link is that talks about the power of God and how much we may rely on God. And our power and authority come from the Almighty. Now this book, the Bible that we often read and refer to, is the Word of God. It has many examples and strategies on how today you and I may want to deal with situation in life. And today I want to focus on this story about the King Jehoshaphat and his prayer. Talk about his strategy and his four-point plan. What are they? Well, firstly, Jehoshaphat believed prayer is the best and first rapid response to any situation. When Jehoshaphat learned of a great army coming upon his land and against him, he immediately realized three things. First, not even his own vast army is a match to the invader. The second thing he realized that the joint forces of the invaders are no match of the Almighty God. And the third point that he realized that the God Almighty is his ally and will surely come to his rescue. Those were the three things that he realized immediately when he was facing a crisis. And so, what was his response to that situation? He immediately, as we heard from the scriptures, he immediately called a nationwide prayer and fast and cried out to the Lord. Prayer was his first strategy. Jehoshaphat and the entire nation of Judah were doomed because they were surrounded by the enemy. Corner like a cat cornering a mouse. And the mouse, however, was friends with the lion, and the cat has no idea. What is the takeaway from this first point? Prayer must be our very first and rapid response, no matter how big and how small the crisis that we may be facing. It should not be our last resort. It should be the first strategy. Your life will change radically when you stop making prayer your backup plan. Unfortunately, for many of us, prayer is plan B, but not plan A. If we want to adopt Jehoshaphat's strategy, we must begin by treating prayer as a rapid response to crisis. We need to drop on our knees and pray. The second strategy that Jehoshaphat has is that he prayed sincerely and transparently. Sincerely and transparently. Kings are a proud bunch. Some may say clergy is also a proud bunch. They have an image to maintain. Sincerity and transparency were nothing but indicator of a weak king. Still, it is precisely that is what Jehoshaphat did. He admitted his worst fears in the presence of the entire nation and prayed in front of everyone about how weak he was. He wasn't concerned about inspiring confidence in his leadership. His only concern was inspiring faith among his people in God's ability to deliver. From a human perspective, what Jehoshaphat did was political suicide. But from God's perspective, however, it is the kind of prayer that God honors. The moment Jehoshaphat concluded the prayer, which we didn't have time to read out, please do read that when you have a moment of your own. The moment when he finished that prayer, God spoke to him. God spoke to him. While the game was on for Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah, it was game over for the enemy already. What is the takeaway of this second strategy? Our prayer must be sincere and transparent, even if it means possible loss of faith and other things. That is our second strategy. And the third point of Jehoshaphat's plan was that he obeyed God in full and in faith. In full and in faith. Now, three things that happened when Jehoshaphat prayed. God gave him an assurance. He said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." That's an assurance coming from God saying to King Jehoshaphat, "Don't be afraid, not to be worried, because this battle is God's, and God will take care of you and the nation." The second thing that happened to Jehoshaphat when he prayed is that God revealed valuable intelligence about the enemy movements, and we read about in Chronicles verse 16 there. And the final point that when Jehoshaphat prayed, it happened while he was praying that the battle plan and the outcome of the battle was all in God's hand. Now, everything looked good until that point, except the battle plan. Because when you read the details of the battle plan, it sounds very ridiculous. You mean you just go out there and sing and worship God and don't do any fighting? Now, that's a bit of a silly battle plan. But that is exactly what God told King Jehoshaphat and his people to do. God doesn't want Jehoshaphat and the army to lift a finger, but position themselves firmly on the battlefield. They need to be there in the battlefield, but they don't have to do anything, not even lifting a finger. And Jehoshaphat's act of worship mentioned in verses 18 to 21 indicate that he obeyed God in full and in faith. And as they say, the rest is history. The Lord, what happened? If you read that particular chapter, the Lord himself set ambushes for the enemy. God confused them so much that they turned against each other and they destroyed each other. And at the end of it, the plunder was so great in quantity, it took Jehoshaphat and his army 3 days to collect them all. Wow, what a victory. And they didn't even have to lift a finger, because the battle is the Lord, and God fought for them. The takeaway from this strategy, we must obey God in full, no matter how risky the situation might be. This is the third strategy. Sometimes we want God to be our foot soldier and ourselves to be the generals. We must honor that partnership between God and people. And we need to adopt Jehoshaphat's strategy. It doesn't matter how ridiculous the battle plan could be, or how God asks us to do things that seem so silly, but God fights for us. Well, that brings us to the last strategy of Jehoshaphat. He acknowledged the interests of God. In verses 26, Jehoshaphat and his soldiers assembled in the valley of Barakah, where they celebrated the Lord in praise and worship. That is the start of the battle that they didn't have to fight. That was the battle plan. They started with praise and worship. And when they gained victory, they returned to Jerusalem, returned to Judah. And the first thing they did was to go to the temple and to praise God and to give thanks to God for God's goodness. The start was praise and worship. And the finish is also praise and worship. Jehoshaphat magnified God's name through his action by the worship. He believed in the battle, that if the battle belongs to God, so does the victory. That's why afterwards he went to the temple and to worship God and to give thanks to God. In all the action, Jehoshaphat acknowledged God and God's glory and interest. And the result of all that, we read in the chapter, God in return acknowledged Jehoshaphat's interest. And Jehoshaphat, he was one of the better kings in the history. Jehoshaphat lived, reigned, and died in peace. Nobody dared to invade Judah as long as Jehoshaphat was the king. Takeaway on this fourth strategy, we must always acknowledge the interests of God first. by glorifying God in everything that we do. That is the fourth and final strategy. Let me wrap this up. How does that relate to us? How does the story of the past relate to us? What about us personally? What kind of struggles and crises and other things that we may face in our lives, or we found in the lives of our loved one and others? What about our church? What about the challenges that we are facing together? I take great courage and encouragement through the story of what we as a church is trying to do right now and into the future. Let me finish up by concluding in these 5 points based on the story. We have been saying that our church is at a crossroad. We have lots of challenges ahead of us. Jehoshaphat committed the situation to God, acknowledged that only God could save him and the nation. And friends, let us commit our church situation to the Lord, because the battle is the Lord. Jehoshaphat sought God's favor because his people were God's people. He realized that. That's why he gathered the people to come and declare a nationwide prayer and fast. And dear friends, we are God's people. And therefore, let us pray and sought God's favor for us in our church. The third point, Jehoshaphat acknowledged God's sovereignty over the current situation. He couldn't do anything. He was powerless. But God is powerful. And likewise, you and I at St. Lucia, we need to accept, we need to seek God's sovereignty over our lives. God is powerful. God can do all things. Fourth point, Jehoshaphat praised God and God's glory and took comfort in God's promises. God said, do this and it will happen. He took comfort, he believed, he accepted God's plan. So brothers and sisters, today likewise, we need to take comfort in the Lord, even though we may be facing challenges before us. Let us claim God's promises in our lives and in the lives of our church. And the last of this conclusion, Jehoshaphat, he professed complete dependence on God, not himself, for deliverance. He totally trusted God for deliverance. He didn't try to fight. He didn't say, army, you need to be ready for yourself, but simply just go and worship the Lord. And likewise, dear friends, our dependency here at St. Luke is not in our own ability or our own wisdom, but rather our dependency is on God's goodness in our lives and in our corporate lives, in our church as a body of God's people. And dear friends, that's, I believe, is the takeout that we can have from this wonderful story of King Jehoshaphat. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you for the learning that we may receive as a result of looking at this story of how you fought the battle for King Jehoshaphat. And so, Lord, we ask today that you fight our battles. You help us to be wise in you. You help us to be strong in you. And you help us to worship you as the Almighty, the Sovereign King of our lives and of our church. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.